You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
I'm so glad you made it. Come on, good morning. It's a good morning. You're awake, you're alive, and it's Christmas, somebody. Come on, it's Christmas time. I'm glad that you could make it. Hey, let's take a moment and welcome in all of our people watching in from wherever they're watching in from, all of our online guests. High Ridge, would you give them a big warm round of applause? I know lots of people are fluish. I'm glad. Hey, stay home if you're sick. That's all right. Stay right there. For the rest of us, we're going to try to get through this year without having to walk through it. Amen, somebody? But we appreciate you watching online. Grab your Bibles if you would. We're going to spend some time in the book of Luke. Luke in the New Testament. If you're new to the Bible, open it up to the middle, take a right, you'll come to the book of Luke. As we're turning there, I wanted to say thank you for your generosity. For those of you that are tithing, for giving offerings over and above here, your generosity is making a difference all around the world. And next Sunday is our Legacy Sunday, where we get to show you how your finances have made a major difference, not only in Longview, Texas, but all over our planet. God has done some incredible things with this church in Longview. You would not believe some of the things that we get to be a part of. And I want to get to show you all of that next week. The Legacy Sunday is next Sunday. So be a part of that if you would. And then also a special announcement on Christmas Day, Christmas Sunday, we will not be having services here. Spend time with your family. Enjoy the Sunday off. The following Sunday will be January the 1st, New Year's Day, for those of you that don't know. And so we are also not going to have a Sunday service that day. We will be online only. I'll have a pre-recorded message. We've got some worship and stuff for you. But two Sundays off because our church values health. And I believe that rest is an important part of health. So we're going to end our year and start our new year healthy and restful. So we're going to give our staff a little bit of time to take a break because you're a lot to deal with, in case you didn't know that. And we believe that rest is important. Come on, somebody. It's important. So we're not going to sit here and preach it to you and not model it ourselves. So we're going to give our staff a break and let those guys enjoy some time with their family before we hit the new year up and running. So Luke chapter 1 is where I want to continue this week as we walk back through our series called My Messed Up Family. My Messed Up Family. I think during the holidays, we are hyper aware of how messed up our families are. We're also hyper aware of the chaos of life. Somebody that's been in some chaos this past week, let me see you. Where you at? Yes, some of you are like, I don't know how I got here. I honestly woke up and here I am. We were at the mall yesterday and I thought, these people don't know how to park. Come on, people. Like, it was Saturday at the mall. Mistakes were made. People make choices and mistakes were made. But it just reinforced that these are some chaotic times that we're living in. And here's the important thing. I want to start off with this. Every family has chaos. Every family has chaos. And so if you think that your family is perfect, let me just remind you, you're the chaos in your family. You might not realize it. If you think your family is less than perfect, that's okay. We're all in the same boat. Every family has chaos. And these are chaotic times that we're living in. It's difficult raising a family in the midst of chaos. You've got your particular situation. I have mine. The people sitting next to you may have a little bit of different chaos that they're walking through, but it is still chaos, even if you change the name to whatever it is that you may be facing. Here's the good news, is that Jesus's family found chaos in the midst. They found favor in the midst of chaos. And so I want to help you believe that your family can too. You can find the favor of God in the midst of chaotic times. Now, for those that know my story, we were raised a little bit differently, but because there was four of us kids, chaos is what we brought with us. The wise men came bringing gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The Ingrams came with chaos. It's a whirlwind of Tasmanian devils. We were just that way. And this was before internet, but also we were raised without television. We were raised without secular music. We didn't have a lot of outside influences. I led a very, very sheltered life. And so whenever we got a chance to go out or experience something new, we would lose it. It was a big deal for us. And so I remember when my sister was 13, I actually talked to her about this last night to show my wife and my daughter. Like, you guys will not believe what happened with my sister. When my sister turned 13, that my parents let her go to her very first concert. Now, when I say concert, it might not be like how you were allowed to go to concerts when you were a kid. For us, it was a Christian concert. and an approved Christian concert. And so back in the day, she had a major crush on a 90s Christian artist named Brian Duncan. And for those of you that remember Brian Duncan, he was a big deal for about 4 or 5 years. It was all Brian Duncan. Now, I got a chance to meet Brian Duncan a few years ago, and he's a wee one. He's a little guy. He's 5'3" and about 110 pounds, like soaking wet. He's a small person. Looks great on camera, looks great on stage, super good looking, very talented, but he's little. And when he was in concert, my sister going to a concert for the first time, she went nuts. She had never experienced the lights and the music and all these things that were happening. It was a brand new world for someone that had lived a very sheltered life and was completely in love with Brian Duncan. He takes his stage, he takes a step off the stage and begins to walk around the people to hype some people up and enjoy his, you know, Christian concert. My sister took that as an opportunity to attack him. My sister runs down the aisle, jumps into his arms, wraps her arms around him, and then her legs around him in a full body hug, screaming, "I love you, I love you, I love you." My mother chases her down and is trying to pull her off of him, and she says, "Stop it, leave me alone." Like she could just die, and this happened. I am not stretching or exaggerating this in the least. It happened. So in the 90s, we had a thing in ministry called armor bearers, where you had to have a person next to you to make sure that you're kept safe and free from accusation or people that would attack you. My sister started that. She's the reason why people had to have professional bodyguards from that moment on, because she attacked a guy. And remember, they're the same size. Chaos is what the Ingrams brought. There was also a time where we lived in a two-bedroom or a three-bedroom apartment. And I say three bedrooms because there was actually two bedrooms and like a dining room that me and my brother decided to take over. And so my younger brother and myself had bunk beds, and our formal dining room bedroom was off of the kitchen. And my mother would just constantly complain about how much we stank. This room, it smells horrible. I can't even cook it here. I can't even stand it. It just smells. It smells months and months and months. You guys smell. I'm like, it's just us. That's me, you know. And these adolescent kids, like, gosh, he's like, "What's wrong with you, teenagers? You just stink, stink, stink." And we're like, I don't know. Then one day she's cleaning up our room and trying to find the source of this smell. And she happens to find a brown paper bag underneath my brother's bottom bunk. Rewind. About 3 months before that, they had laid down the law and said, "You will not get out of bed or come out of this bedroom without getting a spanking." But my brother really had to go to the bathroom. I'm going to leave that story right there. Let me just remind you of one word. Chaos. Chaos. But yet God still highly favored our family in the midst of the chaos that we bring. And God can still do the same for yours. I want to remind you, as we're picking up the story in Luke chapter 1, remind you of the setting, the background that is happening as Mary gets a visit by the angel named Gabriel. He tells her about all the things that are going to happen as she's getting pregnant with Jesus. These are not peaceful times. This is not the peace on earth, silent night that we have in our mind. No, no. Remember this, they are occupied by the Roman military, and their rules no longer apply. Roman government has made rules that make it almost impossible to keep. In these times, it has been 400 years since God has spoken through the prophets, and they don't even have the written word in their home. They have to go to church once a week to hear someone else read and interpret God's law. They don't have the New Testament. These are chaotic times. And let me just remind you, this is also a time where Herod says any child underneath the age of 2 is going to be slaughtered. Can you imagine the anxiety that they're living in chaotic times? Heavy oppression, heavy anxiety, heavy stress, chaos. In the middle of all this, God sends his angel to a young girl named Mary. Pick it up in Luke chapter 1. It says this in verse 26. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one." Somebody say, "Favored one." "The Lord is with you." And then it says, Mary was very perplexed at this statement. What do you mean the Lord is with me? The Lord's not with anybody. It's been 400 years since we've even heard about the things that happened in the Old Testament, this long period of darkness, where God's not speaking, miracles aren't happening. We think we've been forgotten. decade after decade, year after year, of feeling like you've been rejected by God. What do you mean favored? What do you mean God is with you? Don't you know we're living in times where there's chaos? Favored one? The Lord is with me. Can you imagine the flood of emotions as not just you're getting visited by an angel, but at what the angel is saying? Like, well, that's not true. I'm nobody. Highly favored of God, the Lord is with me. Mary is perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. You know, the rest of the world says hello. If you're Mexican, you just say. White guys say. I found that this is what happens when you know somebody, you. But we do this. That's how you know a Mexican recognizes you. Knows. Just so you know. Mary was perplexed and wondered what kind of greeting this could be. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Somebody say, found favor. This is important. Foreshadowing, we're going to come back to that in just a moment. You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. For nothing will be impossible with God." If you've got a paper Bible like mine and you've got a pen or a highlighter, you need to highlight that scripture. That's a good one for us to keep in mind as we walk through some chaotic times. Nothing is impossible with my God. Nothing's impossible with God. And then notice this. At the end of that, Mary said, "May it be done to me according to your word." If you're highlighting, if you're taking notes, if you have a pen, highlight that. Because not only is it important for us to see that nothing's impossible with God, it's equally as important for us to realize her submission to the word. "May it be unto me according to your word." And I pray that would be, if you don't take away anything else that I say today, take away that scripture. "May it be to me, Lord," to me, right where I am, "according to whatever your word says. May it be to me according to your word." So I want to remind you that they're living in chaotic times, and there's a ton of chaos around the birth of Jesus. Remember this, it's a 400-year dark period. Remember also that there's a 9-month pregnant teenager taking a 70-mile journey on the back of a donkey. I don't know about you. That doesn't sound comfortable. Remember now that there's stars that are moving out of their place and settling over the manger scene. Remember that angels are visiting. Pets' heads are falling off. Chaotic times. But Jesus' family found God's favor in the middle of the chaos, and so can yours. I want to bring you 3 encouragements for some messed up families. 3 encouragements for those that are walking through a season of chaos. 3 encouragements for those of us that are honest enough to admit that these are some chaotic times I'm living in, and I need some wisdom here. I need some encouragement. Here's the first thing that I want to see for us from Scripture. Number one, I want you to believe this as well. My family can find God's favor. You mean even mine? Yes, even yours. Brown paper bags under beds and all? Yes, even yours. Your family can find the favor of God. I want you to know this. People ask me sometimes, does God have favorites? This is mostly when I was a youth pastor. Does God play favorites? The answer is yes. God absolutely has favorites. Here's the good news. You get to choose whether or not you want to be one. God has favorites. God has his favor, and God pours it out on those that choose him. God has favorites, and because of Jesus, I get to be one. You see, Jesus came and died on the cross so that we could have grace, and grace makes it possible for us to have favor. I wrote it down this way, and I'm not even going to share it with you because it was a horrible, horrible thought, but at the same time, it just made sense in my mind. I wrote, favor has a daddy named Grace, and Grace has a daddy named Jesus. Who's your daddy? Don't write that down. But I want you to know how much I try to clean up a bunch of stuff before I give it to you. Favor is possible because of the grace of God. and grace is possible because of Jesus. The Bible says that Mary finds favor with God. And by the way, this is not an exclusive club. Your family can find grace because the Lord invites us over and over, dozens of times in Scripture, the Lord invites us to seek his favor. And it gives us example after example of people that sought the favor of the Lord and found it. Look at this in 2 Kings. It says, Jehoahaz sought the favor of the Lord, and the Lord listened to him. I wonder how many times we don't get heard, we don't have prayers answered because we're not seeking after the favor of the Lord. How could we even do that? He sought the favor of the Lord, and the Lord listened. It shows us this: favor is not found by accident. We seek after it. We seek it. Psalm 119, David says, Lord, I seek your favor with all my, somebody say the next word, all my heart. I chase after the favor of God. I seek after the favor of God. What is favor? What is this that we're talking about when God says, I want you to have my favor? Favor is this: tangible proof of God's delight. Tangible proof of God's delight. And as we're digging into this story, notice that it calls Mary highly favored multiple times. Greetings, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. She's like, who says that? Just give me the... Then he says, no, you're highly favored. This is a special moment. You found favor with God in the midst of chaotic times. How does Mary find favor and not even really know that she's looking for it? How does she find something that she's not even really seeking because she's seeking with her actions and doesn't even know it? I want to show you three things in the life of Mary that we find that position her to find the favor of God that can still position us to find his favor. And the first thing that we see is her adherence to the word of God. When the angel speaks this to her, even though that she's confused, even though she doesn't understand, she says, be it unto me according to your word. I don't understand it. I don't get it. But whatever your word says. And the same is true for us today, that we can position ourselves to find the favor of God if we simply let this word tell us how to live. We find her adherence and obedience to the word of God. Here's another thing that we find is her humility. Humility. The Bible tells us that God extols the proud. I'm sorry, God brings down the proud, but blesses the humble. There's something special to be said about humility and obedience to the word of God. The third thing that we find is purity. The reason why many of us have such a hard time finding the real favor of God, now we can say we have God's favor, but experiencing the favor of God, proof of God's delight is something else. Why? Because purity and humility and obedience to the word of God are things that are in rare supply these days. She keeps herself pure before the Lord. She keeps herself pure in the areas of sexual sin. She walks in humility before the Lord, and she's obedient to his word. In the process, God sends his word and says, that's the one I'm going to bless. In the original language, it says, you are highly favored among women. That means out of all the women, you found the favor of God. There's lots of candidates. There's lots of people that have done this and that and people that could be, but it's you. You found favor with God because of your purity, your humility, and your obedience to the word. And by the way, it's never too late to humble yourself before the Lord. It's never too late to start purity today. It's never too late to start being obedient to the word of God. We can find favor even if we weren't born with it. Mary finds and positions herself to find the favor of God. Look at Isaiah 66. God says, these are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. Means that my word is more than something that they just read and look at it as a suggestion for life. I said, no, your word is law and your ways are better than mine. It says they're humble. And then it gives the words contrite in spirit. We don't use those words a lot in modern day vocabulary. Contrite in the original language means a broken spirit. It gives us, in the context of a crippled spirit. For those that have ever had the honor of breaking in a horse, you know what it's like to have to break the spirit of a horse. A wild horse, you've got to get on him, and it's going to be a while. You're going to have a long day. You're going to need some extra pillows. You're going to have some bruises. You're going to get a rash. But that spirit has to break for the horse to become what he needs to become. And the same is true for us. There's a moment of submission that has to happen in each of our hearts where we allow the Lord to be the Lord of our life. We allow him to be the boss and the savior. This is what the term submission means. It means strength under authority. And God says, I give my favor, my blessings upon those that have that crippled spirit. Say, Lord, it's not my way. You're in charge. Lord, your word's not a suggestion. It's my orders. Lord, it's with humility that I come into your presence, realizing it's not about me. It's you. This is where the favor of God comes in. I'll say it this way. God favors those who favor him. Do we want the favor of God? Come on, somebody say yes. Is there a way to get it? Yeah. Is there a reason why few find it? Yes. Many of us say we've got the favor of God, but tangible proof of God's delight comes with a price tag. It's not like grace that's free. Favor is something that God shows us the way to receive it. It's in our hearts. Here's the second key I want to give for some messed up families that need a little bit of encouragement, some times of chaos. Key number two, here's what we see in the story. My family can have wild characters and still have godly character. Come on, somebody say amen. That should be a big relief for somebody. I can have wild characters and still have godly characters. I want you to know that Jesus' family was not without some wild characters. Last week, we talked through the lineage of Jesus. And let me just tell you, it ain't spotless. Jesus might have been spotless, but his granddaddy and great-granddaddy and great-great-great-granddaddy and his great-great-great-grandma, they wild people. They're East Texans at heart. We got some personalities around here. Let me just tell you, in the midst of all of our wildness and the crazy characteristics that make your family unique, let me offer you this hope. When God saved you and determined to use your family, he took your craziness and he had you and all your craziness in mind. That's okay. That's okay. Just because God saves you and redeems you doesn't mean that you have to lose your personality. You can't have fun. You're going to be weird. You're still going to be you. This can be a you that God uses. Every single one of us is unique. And there are some wild things about your family. I know your kids. You can pretend all you want. I see your kids. There's some wildness in there. Remember this with Jesus. He had a cousin named John. And you might have got some weird cousins. I've got weird cousins. But Jesus had a cousin named John that wore camel's hair underwear. That's weird. That's got to be itchy. There's no way that can be comfortable. On any level, there's no way that that's comfortable. And he was probably the first Cajun of all time. I'm just telling you. Because he's eating locusts. Now, if you fry that sucker up, dip it in some ranch, I don't know. But he has fantastic character. Let's not forget John the Baptist's dad was Zechariah, who was a preacher that couldn't preach. He's a priest that God took away his ability to speak. That's a little weird. And then his mother, John the Baptist's mother, her name was Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, who the Bible just describes her as old and pregnant. There's hope for you. These people might have had some weird situations. There might have been some chaos, but they still had fantastic character, right? And so can yours. God took your craziness into mind. He gets it. He sees you. I've got some characters in my family, some wild characters. I've shared about those on multiple occasions. There was one time where I took my youth staff to, when I was a youth pastor, I took them all as a Christmas gift to them. I wanted to bless the entire staff. We had 25 people that were in youth leadership, and we took them all to Cheesecake Factory to eat our Christmas dinner there together. And I just blew my youth budget out of the water, and my pastor was mad. I went, what in the world? $2,000 on a meal? I'm sorry. I just love them. And I told them when I sat down, like, you guys can order anything that you want. And that was a mistake. I'm just telling you. But one of the people had called in with the flu, and so we had a spot that had opened up, and my brother happened to be driving by, and I said, hey, why don't you just stop in and eat Cheesecake Factory with us? And those that know my family, we didn't eat out a lot. There's not a whole lot of experience when it comes to nice restaurants or a sit-down meal. And so he's like, are you sure? I was like, yeah, man, come on, sit down with us. And so he sits down. He's like, this place is kind of nice. This is Cheesecake Factory. What should I order? Like, man, they've got a whole book. If you've ever seen the menu, it's massive. And so we're looking through this whole list of all kinds of options. He's like, I don't know what to eat. I don't know what half this stuff is. I said, just get a steak. He's like, I don't know, man, that's expensive. Like, it's on me. I got this. What I meant by it is like, I'm about to get fired anyway. He's like, I'm just going to get the biggest steak they got. I'm like, you order it up, bro. And so the waiter comes by and tells us, what would you like to have? My brother's like, what's the biggest steak you got? And he tells him, my brother's like, I want that. He goes, how do you want it prepared? He's like, I cook it, I guess. And the guy said, well, that's a very thick steak. Would it be okay if we butterflied that steak? And he said, yeah, throw a couple of those on there. I'll see what it tastes like. That sounds good. Some of you will get that later. And some of you, that's all right. We'll take you to Cheesecake Factory, have them butterfly your steak. Throw a couple of those on there. We'll see what happens. It might be good. I don't know. I ain't never tried them. I'm not at all exaggerating. That happened. I'm telling you. I got some crazy characters. So do you. The point is, do they still have great character? Jesus' family had some wild characteristics, but fantastic character. And we don't see a better example of this than Jesus' stepfather, his earthly father named Joseph. I want you to put yourself in Joseph's situation for just a moment and imagine what you would do if the person that you're engaged to comes and tells you that they're pregnant and you know that it couldn't possibly be your baby because we're keeping this thing pure. We're trying to do it the right way. There's no premarital sex involved. But yet I've made a commitment to you and you made a commitment to me and then you're pregnant with somebody else's baby. And then to hear the wild story that she tells, he doesn't know her to be someone that would make something up, but obviously he doesn't believe her. He's like, I'm trying to use some wisdom here, but you're a liar. Thank God I didn't marry you. Imagine the pain, the hurt that he is faced with as the person that he wants to spend the rest of his life with comes to him saying, I'm pregnant. We know that it's not your baby. And gives them this story about an angel visiting her, and it's the baby of God. He's like, no, it was Gabriel. Like, where's Gabriel? Where does Gabriel live? Because me and my boys are rolling up on Gabriel in about 20 minutes. But yet, we don't see him lashing out at her in anger. We don't see him trying to get even. Look at this in Matthew 1:19. It says, because Joseph was faithful to the law, yet did not want her to expose her to public disgrace, he determined that he was going to put her away quietly. What does faithful to the law mean? That means by law, he has the right now to have her stoned to death. If you're angry and you want to push something to the extent of the law, he can have her killed. But he doesn't respond that way. He's like, you know what? You may be lying to me. You may have cheated on me. And I'm not trying to embarrass you or have you killed. Let me just divorce you quietly and not embarrass you in any way. Let's just call this what it is. You don't want to be with me. Go away. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. And he handles this situation with the balance between grace and truth. And I love how the Lord God himself chose Joseph as the earthly father for Jesus because he perfectly balances grace and truth. We know that Jesus came with grace and truth. And every good father, fathers pay attention for just a moment, knows the balance between grace and truth. A healthy father knows the balance between grace and truth. Truth says, this is wrong. You're not going to do this anymore. And grace says, I'm going to help you. And we say this way, that they have to be balanced because truth without grace is mean. And grace without truth is meaningless. And they balance each other out really well within the model of the family. And Joseph, in spite of all the hurts, he determined, I'm not going to hurt you. Even though you hurt me. And we see great character in his life in this situation. I say it this way for you to see, I want to put it on the screen. I recognize God's character in my life when my hurts no longer become hurts to others. I want to leave that for just a moment. I think it's important that we see when we're looking at our character, there's a difference between what we think we are and what we actually are. And a good measure is, how do you respond to hurt? I've been hurt this way, and I will hurt others in return. There may have been some wild characters in Jesus' family, but they had fantastic character. There's hope for your family. There's still hope for mine. Here's the third thing I want you to see before we finish it out today. Number three, my family can be trusted with God's blessings because we know how to bless God. And I hope that at some point you can say this over your family. My family can be trusted with God's favor. My family can be trusted with his great blessings. Why? Because we know how to bless him. We've proven today through scripture that God favors those who favor him. And I want you to recognize this in the story of Jesus and through the story of his parents. The Bible tells us that on the eighth day that Jesus was taken to the temple for his circumcision and for him to be dedicated back to the Lord as the firstborn male son. And they're obedient to what the law tells them to do. They present Jesus on the eighth day. And the neat thing is the Bible tells us that they bring turtle doves as an offering. Leviticus, the law tells us that when you bring the firstborn male of any family, that you're to bring a lamb. Unless you're too poor to afford the lamb, then you have two turtle doves as your gift, because we don't have a lot to bring. I want you to see that Jesus doesn't come into a life of opulence. He's born into a family of obedience. I want you to notice the difference for just a moment. Favor of God wasn't about wealth. It starts with obedience. And so they honor the Lord with the best of what they have in obedience to the law as best as they could do it. I think it's neat that Jesus is called the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. So unknowingly, they're a family that doesn't just choose between the lamb and the turtle doves. They actually bring both. Isn't that cool? And they honor the Lord by being faithful to his word. They honor God by being faithful in their finances. They honor God by doing the best they can with what they have to honor the Lord. And they position themselves for fantastic blessings in the midst of their lack. And so can you. I think many of us want the blessings of God. I don't think there would be anyone that would argue with me when we say, don't you want the blessing and the favor of the Lord? Yes. But I think we have this in our mind that we would rather bless God and honor God and give toward the Lord's mission out of our surplus. Lord, as long as I have plenty for my family, then I will bless you with that is left over. But that's never what God asks us to do. We want his favor, but we're not willing to favor him. The Lord asks us to bless him, be obedient to his ways first. Trust me with the first part. And then let me bless you with more. And I hope that it can be said of your family that I can be trusted with God's blessings because I know how to bless God. I know how to be obedient to what he tells me to do. I know how to honor his word. I know how to let him be Lord of my messed up family. The neat thing is, in the middle of their lack, Herod decrees that all children underneath the age of two are going to be put to death, and so they have to flee to Egypt. Well, of course, they don't have money to make that kind of trip. The Bible tells us that the Magi come bringing gold and frankincense and myrrh, these gifts that they lay at the feet of Mary and Joseph, which provide for them enough funds to be able to go. It's about obedience. I say it this way, the favor of God isn't about wealth. It's God rewarding each step of obedience. What is God asking you to do in the middle of your chaos? What could God be putting out in front of you and saying, I want to bless you, I want to favor you, and I want to deal with this part of your life? What could that look like to you? We see how God deals with Mary and Joseph in spite of the chaos, in spite of the wild characters in their family and all the things that are going on in their world. They've got chaos, and so do you. But God chooses to favor them in the middle of it. What does it show me? It shows me this, that favor doesn't mean I won't have chaotic times. Favor means God is blessing me in spite of them. In spite of them. I think we see that in the midst of the chaos, they made a choice to be obedient. And my hope for you today, my hope for your family, my hope for your marriage is that you would do the same. You've got your chaos, I've got mine. The holidays are a chaotic time. Can we still be obedient with what God is telling us to do? Would you go ahead and put away your notes, put away your phones? I want to finish up right there with that statement and just invite you to take a moment between you and the Lord. I believe if I've done my job correctly today, that there are some things that the Lord wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to your family, to your chaos, to your situation. There may be things that God is asking you to do. And I want to encourage you to say yes to the Lord. So Father, with every head bowed, we come to you in the midst of our chaos, asking for your guidance, asking for you to lead. Show us what to do. Lord, we recognize that when you lead, things change. When you lead, peace comes into our situation. When you're in the driver's seat, we can rest knowing that you're in control. The leadership of my family doesn't depend upon me, Lord. It depends upon you leading me. So would you help us? Father, we lay our needs at your feet, knowing that for many of us, the holidays are a tough season. We can't and don't want to do it without you. Would you come? Would you be a friend that sticks closer than a brother? Would you meet us here? Help us to experience your favor, the proof of your delight. Help us to experience your peace. And as a matter of fact, I sense that all over this place right now, the Lord wants to give you peace. Peace. I want to invite you wherever you are, wherever you're watching me from, take a deep breath. Breathe in his peace. Just breathe. Peace. Peace. I'm praying that that same peace, the peace that comes from the presence of the Lord, will be yours all week long as you walk through the chaos. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, perhaps you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, if I'm going to be honest with you, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. You may have been raised in church like me, but didn't really have a relationship with him. If you need to come home, or if you need to take that first step in asking Jesus to forgive you of your sins, and you're saying, Lord, I want a relationship with you, you may wonder, how do I do that? It starts with a prayer. And someone loved me enough to help me with this one time, and it changed my life. And I would be so honored to help you make the same decision. If you want a relationship with Jesus, I want to invite you right now to just pray with me. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. You can pray out loud or in your heart. It does not matter. The most important thing is that you believe it. Pray with me. I'll tell you what to say. The prayer goes like this. Just pray and say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you came and died. I believe that you rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all of my sins. I invite you to be my Lord, my Savior, my boss. Come into my heart, take over. Now pray this, my friend, say, Jesus, I don't want to live my life my way anymore. I give it to you. Forgive me. I will live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, my friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, if you actually did that, do me a favor right where you are. Would you just lift up your hand all across this place and say, that was me, Pastor. I pray with you. Good. Good. I see you. Good for you. If you're watching online as well, I'm so proud of you and the decision that you just made. I want to invite you. You've come this far. You've taken that step. I want to invite you to take one more step. I want to challenge you. There's a number appearing on your screen. The number is 844-HRC-TEXT. If you will text the words, I prayed, to that number on your screen, then I'm going to send you some things that will help you understand what just happened inside of your heart. And what you should do next. It would be my greatest honor to help you to get to know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and make a difference with the life that God has given you. That's my prayer for you. Well, Highbridge family, go ahead and look up at me, then stand to your feet if you would. It's been such an honor bringing God's word here with you today, and I just want to say thank you for coming. Thank you for being a part of this. I have our elders and their wives coming to remain up here as the service ends, to be available to pray for you about anything that you might need prayer for. They're going to stay right here and they'll wait as long as they need to wait to make sure that you get prayed for if you need prayer. We would love to pray for you. I want to remind you that next Sunday is Legacy Sunday. In between now and next Sunday, I want to invite you, would you be in prayer about what the Lord might have you give as a family towards helping us pay off the debt of this building? We are not a people that ask for money with guilt and all those things. I simply believe that as a pastor, my job is to get you to listen to the Holy Spirit and to help you be obedient to whatever he tells you to do. So I want to invite you to do something a little bit differently this year, to not just give as individuals, but give as a family. Let your children see how you honor the Lord by giving back to the purposes of God. It's important that your children see that life is more than just the accumulation of wealth. It breaks the power of wealth and mammon off of your children. And it helps you to leave a legacy that is better than what was given to you. Give as a family. Show your family this is what we're going to do together. And let them celebrate what is happening when they determine that they're going to be generous as well. One of the coolest things I ever saw is when we started doing this as a family, my daughter brings me her piggy bank and says, Daddy, I want to give this. And it has her pennies in it. And I love it because it shows me her heart for the Lord. That's a big deal. Let your children be a part of this. They need it. It will teach them lessons that that the world will not teach them. It's better. Amen? Between now and next Sunday, would you pray about what the Lord would have you to give and then just simply be obedient to whatever God tells you to do? Amen? Let me pray for you and send you out. Father, I pray that you would bless my friends with an incredible week. I pray that those that are sick would recover. I pray that every need would be met. I pray that you would meet them right where they are and help them. Would you bless my friends with an incredible week following after you all week long? In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said together, amen. God bless you as you go. Have an awesome day.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week and we will see you next time.